Good morning. Good to see all of you here for the 11 o'clock service this morning at the Oasis. 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1. While you're finding that, just a couple of things I want to go over with you this morning. Starting this Wednesday at 7 o'clock, we are starting a new series on Wednesday night in the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia. So it's a great book. Hope that many of you can join us, just like our other ministries and our services on Sunday. We're growing on Wednesday night as well. We have things for children, for our youth, and for our adults. So if you can be out Wednesday, 7 o'clock, we'd love to have you this Wednesday as we start a new series. Then, Wednesday, November the 26th, the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, for 15 years since the start of the church, we have what's called a Thanksgiving Pie Fellowship, where people just bring pies and we share a slice of pie and we get to sample pies and whatever. And it's a great night of not only just some great food, but a night of thanksgiving, a night of praise to the Lord. I'll be speaking out of the book of Galatians that night. Nicole will be having some wonderful worship, but we're also going to have some wonderful pie. And if you'd like to bring a pie, please don't forget to see Amanda Mason and run that by her, because she's sort of coordinating all the different pies. We want to make sure we don't have, like, you know, 25 pumpkin pies and nothing else, although that wouldn't be bad. But anyway, you know. Then Saturday the 29th of November, around 8:30, we need some folks to show up and help put up all the Christmas decorations around the church. So if you could show up for an hour or two on Saturday morning, November the 29th, to help us get up our Christmas decorations, that would greatly be appreciated. And one more thing, gals, this is for you. Don't forget, your big Christmas event, your Christmas dinner, is coming up on Thursday, December the 4th, from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. It's going to be a wonderful evening. Picture yourself at home in your comfortable PJs around a fire, listening to Christmas carols. You're going to have a pot roast dinner. I mean, it's going to be great. So you don't want to miss it, gals. So please get out there and sign up. You can bring folks with you. So again, just register for that as soon as possible. Only a couple weeks are left. All right, last weekend, we had our Spiritual Life Weekend. So we suspended our God is Able series for 1 week, but this week we're back. This week we're back in the God is Able series, and we'll be in our God is Able series for a couple of more weeks. And the thing that makes today's message unique, first of all, is the book that this message is from. It is from 2 Timothy, which was Paul's last letter that he wrote. In fact, it wasn't too long after he wrote this letter that he went to be with Jesus. He tells us in this letter that at this time he was a prisoner for Jesus Christ, that he was probably being held in the Mamertine prison there in Rome as he wrote this letter to Timothy. And in chapter 4, verse 6, he even says, "The time of my departure is at hand." He knows that he has very few days left, weeks left here on earth before he goes to be with Jesus. Now, whether that is because of the insight that the Holy Spirit is giving him, whether it's through things that he's seeing and hearing around him, he knows that his time is short. So these are the last words of the Apostle Paul. While he's sitting in a dark, dank, damp prison in Rome, and yet, he's not sitting there throwing himself a pity party. He's not there wallowing, you know, in his circumstances. He's not there as this victim of his circumstances. He is in that moment magnifying and glorifying his God, and he's using this as a very teachable opportunity to strengthen, to motivate, to inspire, to encourage a fellow companion in ministry, his son in the faith, Timothy, the one who he said was his kindred spirit, the one in whom they were partners in ministry for many, many years. This is what he's doing in the last days of his life. How could Paul endure these difficulties and hardships and circumstances of his life the way he did? He's going to tell us how. He's going to, first of all, tell Timothy how, because he wants Timothy to get to where he is. And then God has used this passage of scripture down through the last couple of millennia to encourage us as well. So let's get into it this morning. God is able. I want to give you the outline first, because I just told the 9 o'clock group, I don't know how this is all going to sort of settle out. I'm going to be all over the place. So for those of you that like an outline and light structure, I'm going to give that to you up front. The first thing would be Paul's companion. This letter is addressed to Timothy, verse 2, his dear son in the faith. And everything that he says in this letter, he's talking to Timothy, okay? Trying to inspire him, trying to strengthen him, trying to motivate him. So Paul's companion. The second thing you see here in chapter 1 is in verse 11, Paul's calling, which is really interesting because that's what we talked about last week. Embracing and hearing the calling that God has for us in each season of our life. And you'll notice there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, Paul reveals to us God's calling upon his life. He says, "For this gospel, I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher." So Paul's companion, Paul's calling. Then you'll note in verse 8 of chapter 1, he reminds Timothy that he is a prisoner for Christ's sake. In fact, then in verse 12, he says, "This is why I am suffering the way that I am." So you see there Paul's confinement. He's a prisoner in Rome. Paul's companion, Paul's calling, Paul's confinement. But where we're going to spend the most time today is in verse 12. That's Paul's confidence. Because Paul is going to reveal to Timothy and to us that there's only one person and one place our confidence should be in at all times while we're living our life on earth, and that is in Jesus. Our confidence must be completely in Jesus Christ. And this is how Paul is able to navigate the circumstances of his life, how he is able to endure the difficulties of life and the hardships of life, and even at the very end of his life as a prisoner, how he cannot look at himself as a victim, not be wallowing in self-pity, but be magnifying and glorifying his God as well as strengthening one of his fellow believers. Let's talk first of all a little bit about Paul's companion, Timothy, and why he was writing the things that he was writing to Timothy, because he knew Timothy. Again, they had spent many years together in ministry together, so they knew each other, and he knew the struggles. He knew the strengths that Timothy had, but he also knew the struggles that Timothy had. And he knew that Timothy struggled with fear, that Timothy struggled with being timid and not wanting to put himself out there. Timothy struggled with anxiety and worry. That's why he told him in another place, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. Because guess what? When we're emotionally all upset, and when we're anxious, and when we're worried, and when we're fearful, what physically are we affected? What area? Our gastrointestinal part of us. Because again, God made us to tie everything together. We're not compartmentalized. Everything ties together. So Timothy struggled with this, and Paul knew it. That's why in verse 7 of 2 Timothy 1, you'll see there, he says, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, Timothy, the spirit of cowardice and timidity, but has given us the Holy Spirit, who is the spirit that enables us to live in power and live in love and self-control." And by the way, this word means to be calm, cool, collected, and composed. Because if you want to think of an animal that would sort of illustrate Timothy, it would be Timothy the turtle. You know, the turtle, whenever it senses anything wrong going on around it, what's it do? It retreats into its shell. And that's sort of the bent that Timothy had. When things got a little out of hand or a little, you know, disruptive, what would Timothy do? Instead of sort of standing up and standing out and obviously being vulnerable, Timothy would retreat into his shell. And Paul wanted to try to bring Timothy to a point where he was, where he wouldn't retreat any longer, which is why he says the words he says after verse 7 in verse 8. He says, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind, he says, so Timothy, don't be ashamed of our Lord in any way. Don't be afraid to associate yourself or identify yourself, being reluctant to do so, with our Lord or of me, a prisoner, for the sake of Christ. But by God's power, this power that is given to you through the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, accept your share of suffering in the gospel. You see, Timothy saw what had happened to Paul when Paul kept preaching the gospel and putting himself out there. He got thrown into prison. Well, Timothy's natural reaction is, I don't want to follow in those footsteps. So he wanted sort of like backing off. And Paul was like, no, don't back off, Timothy. You need to keep preaching the gospel. You need to be given this infusion of Holy Spirit boldness and courage. Don't be afraid, Timothy. And be willing to accept your share of suffering because it is the lot of every Christian. Something we all need to keep in mind. Now listen, God's path and will for each of us is obviously different. It's very individualized. And some Christians throughout their earthly life are going to be called to suffer more than others. But all of us as Christians have been taught in the Word of God that we will all suffer to some degree because we are a follower of Christ in this world. It's what we should expect. In fact, even the Apostle Paul himself, when he got converted on the road to Damascus and he saw the risen Lord, the Lord appeared to him. And then after that, the Lord appeared to Ananias to be this mediator, this person that was going to, in a sense, introduce Paul, the converted Paul, the transformed Paul, to the early church that he had persecuted. And the Lord told Ananias, I will show him. I'm not going to give you that responsibility, Ananias. I will show him how great of things he must suffer for my name. So Paul knew right from the very beginning that the rest of his earthly life as a servant of the Lord, he was going to be suffering because of it. We know the Bible teaches us, Acts 14:32 or 14:31, we must enter the kingdom of God through many persecutions, through many pressings or pressures. Philippians 1:29, it has been granted to us not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for him. Jesus said, in the world you will have trouble and suffering. Jesus said, do not marvel that the world hates you. It hated me before it hated you. So the Bible teaches us we need to accept our share of suffering. In a sense, Paul is saying, look, you need to do your part, Timothy. I'm doing my part. Other Christians are doing their part. You need to join us in fellowship of suffering and come together and not shrink back simply because you're afraid to go through whatever God has for you, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Now, if you go down to verse 11, where Paul reveals his calling, that God appointed him to be a preacher, apostle, and teacher of the gospel, then if you go into verse 12, he begins to tell us, here's how I can endure the hardships of life. Here's how I can go through all that I'm going through and not throw myself a pity party, not see myself as a victim, and even be magnifying my God at this stage and not focused on myself at the end of my life, but focused on you and others, trying to inspire and motivate and strengthen and encourage them. Because he says, even though I suffer as I do, verse 12, notice, he says three things. I'm not ashamed because I know the one in whom my faith is set, and I am convinced or confident that he is able to protect what has been entrusted to me until that day. I want to take these three and look at them today as the primary portion of my message. And I'm going to do them actually, though, out of order, because you'll see at the end why I place them in the order that I do. First of all, let's look at what Paul says about, I'm not ashamed, Timothy. Remember, he told Timothy, do not be ashamed of our Lord, verse 8, or of me, his prisoner. Then down in verse 12, he says, Timothy, I'm not ashamed. What did Paul mean when he's telling Timothy we should not be ashamed? Well, we have two choices as we go through this life as Christians. We can be more wanting and desiring what the world offers, you know, worldly wealth, worldly position, worldly prestige, worldly applause, worldly appreciation, or we can live disregarding all of that, not prioritizing that, and basically saying, I live simply to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. It doesn't matter to me what the world offers to me. All I care about is pleasing and honoring my Lord and hearing from him one day, well done. That's where Paul was. I mean, even in the temptation of Jesus, this has always been even Satan's strategy. Jesus, if you just bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. Kingdoms that are temporary, material, physical, won't be around forever. Jesus is like, I'm going to be king over an eternal kingdom, so no thanks. And God wants his people to be the same way. We can get so caught up in, you know, wanting to get all that the world can offer us as we go through this life, that's all we care about. And we'll compromise our walk with God because we care more about what the world thinks of us and what the world can offer us and how the world can honor us than we do about what Jesus thinks. Paul, in saying, I'm not ashamed, is saying to Timothy, Timothy, don't be disappointed that you might not grab all that the world has while you're here. That, you know, you'll never be seen in the eyes of the world as this great person, and that you'll be honored by the world and rewarded by the world and awarded by the world and applauded by the world. Paul says, that's not what we should be focused on. We should be focused on being honored by the Lord. And so we can disregard all that. That's what Paul meant by I am not ashamed. In fact, keep your finger in 2 Timothy 1 and go over for just a moment to 2 Timothy 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. Because I think Paul had these verses in mind even when he said, I'm not ashamed, to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Because Paul at the end of verse 6 says, my departure is at hand. I have in verse 7 competed well, finished the race, kept the faith. Verse 8, finally, there is reserved for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me and award to me on that day, the day that I stand before him to give an account and be awarded and rewarded and honored by the Lord. And then he goes on to say, and not to me only, but to all those who set their affection on his appearing. You see, for Paul, the reason he wasn't ashamed was because he never got caught up in the worldly accolades and in the worldly awards. What he was focused on was that day where he would receive the honor and the awards and the reward from Jesus Christ himself. The world, the flesh, and the devil, they're all about the awards now. And that's why many Christians, they live more for the world than for the world to come, because for them it's like, man, if I was all in for Jesus, and if I give my life all in for Jesus, look at what I'm going to miss. Look at what I'm going to miss out on. I'm not going to have all the stuff of the award the world has, and I'm not going to have all the prestige that the world could give me, and I'm not going to have all the power that the world could give me, and I'm not going to have all the applause that could come my way. So that's only temporary. The Bible says the world is passing away. And even the honor that the world can bring to us and the rewards that the world can give to us are only temporary. The reward and the award and the honor of God is forever. The one who does the will of God abides forever, John says. And what Paul was saying to Timothy by, I'm not ashamed, as he's saying, Timothy, don't worry anymore about what the world thinks. Don't worry about what you may be giving up by being all in for Jesus Christ. You focus on that day, the day that you will stand before the Lord. By the way, there are some Christians that say, yeah, seems a little selfish of me to be focused on being honored and being rewarded and awarded by the Lord. No, it's not being selfish. It's scriptural. God tells us, I will honor you. I will vindicate you. I will reward you. I will award you. These are things that come from the revelation of God. He doesn't consider them selfish. He considers them a legitimate thing to help us as Christians to be able to look past the things that we so-called are giving up on earth while we're here and to look forward to laying up treasure in heaven and investing in eternal things that will always be there. That's why. What about you? What about me? Are we thinking about that day? Because Paul says, hey, this crown of righteousness that the Lord's going to award me one day, very soon, he says, it's not just for me. You can receive the crown of righteousness too by being faithful for the rest of your life to the Lord. You see, Paul didn't start out very well in this life, did he? In fact, he was a pretty rotten scoundrel for a while. He was the chief persecutor of the church. But once he accepted Christ as his Savior and he started to live for God, man, he was on fire for the Lord for the rest of his life. That's why he could say in verse 7 of chapter 4, I competed well. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Remember, I've told you this before. It's not as important how you start the race as how you finish it. And we can all choose to finish well, just like Paul, and receive that crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give not only to Paul, but to all those who have set their affection on his appearing. I'm not ashamed. Let's go back to verse 12 of chapter 1. Skip over the next and go to the end of the verse where he says, I am convinced, I am confident, I am assured that he is able to protect, to preserve, to watch over all that's been entrusted to me until that day, the day that he's talking about in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. See, for Paul, he wanted to try to strengthen and encourage and comfort Timothy that, like, look, Timothy, I get it. God has entrusted us all with valuable things throughout our life as his followers. And these are very valuable things that we then are responsible to steward well. That's why Jesus spoke so often in the parables about being good stewards and about managing well the things that God has entrusted to us. But what Paul is saying to Timothy is, Timothy, God doesn't entrust us with all these great things and then just let us go and it's all up to us. He's saying God partners with us and is with us throughout all of this to help us be good stewards. And Paul said, I'm confident of that. Paul, in a sense, is saying to Timothy, Timothy, I've never walked a moment since I turned my life over to Christ where I was stewarding and managing all these wonderful things that God entrusted to me and that I was doing it without him. No, every step of the way, we were doing it together. God was with me every step of the way, because this word that Paul uses for protect in verse 12 is a military term. It speaks about being a sentinel or a soldier who's on military guard and who is exercising continual vigilance, who never takes their eyes off of anything that they're guarding or anyone that they're guarding. Full attention. Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, you never have to worry about stewarding these things without knowing that God is right there with you, enabling you, empowering you, providing for you, protecting you, preserving you. Through it all, our God is able to protect and to preserve everything that he's entrusted to us. I'm so thankful for that, because I can tell you, if I thought for one second that I was to pastor this church, this wonderful group of people that you are, and to do it on my own without God, I'd have cut out a long time ago. Because there is nothing in Jeff Royce that's capable of pastoring this church the way it needs to be. And I'll even say this, nothing against all of you, don't take this personal, I don't trust you either. I not only don't trust myself, I don't trust you. But you know who I do trust completely? Him. He's the only one who's able to keep that he's entrusted to me. He's the only one able to protect, to preserve, to provide for all that he's entrusted to any of us. Our confidence must be solely and completely in him. So Paul says, Timothy, this is how I can be sitting in a dark, damp, dank prison cell in Rome and be magnifying my God, knowing that my life is soon over, and how I can be encouraging you and getting it my, you know, attention off of me and getting it on someone else. Because I'm not ashamed. I'm not living for this world and what this world can offer me. I'm living for the world to come. Second, I am confident that he is able, because he's been with me every step of my journey on earth, to bring me to this place. I've never had to do anything on my own. It's always been in partnership with my God who is able. And finally, notice what he says here. I think this is the most important phrase. He says, I know the one in whom my faith is set. Whoa. You see, Timothy was an unsettled soul. I mean, again, just think about the poor guy's stomach. His stomach was always unsettled because emotionally he dealt with fear and anxiety and worry, and he was naturally a timid person, and he naturally didn't want to put himself out there, so he would retreat into his shell. And Paul says, Timothy, when you and I get to a place where we have settled it because we are settled in God, then it doesn't matter what's going on around us. It doesn't matter what our circumstances are. It doesn't matter what our situation is, because we are settled in God. I mean, think of Paul's own circumstances. Are they great right now? He's getting ready to be executed. He's living in a prison. You would think, how can you, Paul, be settled in such circumstances? Because his settledness is found in a person, in the one that his faith is. His settledness isn't found in circumstances or situations of this life. It's found in Jesus, you see. In fact, notice these very important words. The reason why his faith is set and he is settled is because he knows one. doesn't know all the other. I know one. And who's the one he's talking about there? Jesus. For some of you, maybe the reason even as a Christian you're not settled is because you need to keep growing in your knowledge of him. Because Paul is saying to Timothy, when you get to know God to a certain level, you will know that you can settle everything and rest everything in him. You'll know that. I mean, to a much lesser degree, we're even that way in our relationships on earth. We don't have many people in our life like this, but when you find a person in your life that you know you can absolutely trust, you know has your back, you know that you can count on, you know is a safe person that you can share things with, and you know that they won't spread it or, you know, it'll come back on you. When you find a person like that, that you know who they are, then you rest in them. You're settled in that relationship. How much more with our God? And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, Timothy, you just need to know God the way I know him. Because when you know God the way I know him, I'm settled. I know he's got me. I know he's got this situation. I know that I can be settled in him even if everything around me is unsettled. In fact, that's why even throughout the Bible, God portrays himself as a rock, as a fortress, as a high ridge, as a high tower, as a refuge. I love Psalm 46. It's one of my favorites. Even if the mountains were to tumble into the sea, God is our refuge and strength. I don't know about you, but I think most people on earth would be freaking out if mountains started to fall into the ocean, if the earth just started breaking apart. But God is saying, when you finally settle yourself in me, it doesn't matter what the situation or circumstance is. Our settledness comes from the one that we know. And as I was preparing for this message today, I clearly felt that God was leading me to offer and provide some response actively to this message, not just to hear it and walk out of God's house and not at least give you all the opportunity to put feet to it, if you will. So God gave me this idea of getting a board and writing verse 12 on that board. And as you all leave God's house today, for those of you that feel led to do so, that you would literally take a nail and a hammer and that you would nail that nail into that board and say, you know, I've been unsettled about something in my life or someone in my life. I'm settling it today. I'm resting in my God. I know the one in whom my faith is set, and I'm settling it. Because the Bible even portrays us settling things as firmly fixed nails. And so as you drive that nail into that board, it's like you're saying, God, I'm settling this today once and for all. I'm no longer going to let this situation, this circumstance, this person, this problem, whatever, keep me unsettled, because God doesn't want his people to live in this unsettled state. God wants us to get to the place the Apostle Paul got, where we can say, I know the one in whom my faith is set. And I want to say, I want to thank one of our elders, Scott Beatty, for making this board that some of you are going to be nailing that nail into. And I hope that some of you will do that as you leave today. That as you leave God's house, you will take that nail and you will take that hammer and you say, God, I'm settling this today. We also have markers out there. Some of you may want to write your initials, someone else's initials, a scripture verse, or some other meaningful thing beside the nail that you nail down. But here's what I know for sure. God wants to take all of us who are unsettled about something or someone, and he wants us to settle it in him. That's what he wants. And that's how Paul wasn't disappointed that he was about ready to die in a prison in Rome. That's why Paul could endure the hardships and the difficulties and the suffering that he went through throughout his Christian life, because of three things. He was not ashamed. He was convinced that God was able to protect what had been entrusted to him, and he knew the one in whom his faith was set. Let's settle something in God today. I'm going to ask Nicole and our worship team to come. And while they're coming and getting settled on the platform, would you stand with me and join me in prayer? Father, I pray today that all of us, God, would bring our unsettledness to you and allow you to settle us. God, may we rest in you today. As we sung about and as Nicole prayed about, God, may we find our hope and place our hope completely in you today. May we realize, God, anew that the world has nothing meaningful to offer to us more than what you're going to bring to us one day. That your honor, God, is always far greater than any honor the world can bestow upon us. Therefore, we're not ever giving anything up by being a fully devoted, fully all-in, committed follower of Jesus. We're looking ahead to that day where you crown your people, where you award and honor your people for our faithful service to you while on earth. And God, may we always realize that though we're not able, you are able, God. And that you're able to watch over even the things that you've entrusted to us, because we never have to do it on our own. And more than anything, God, I hope that we all can get to a place in our life where our knowledge of you is so settled, so strong, so sure of who we know you to be, that, God, everything else in our life is settled. Because we know that we can trust you completely, that you've got us every step of the way. You've got everything about us in our life every step of the way until we see you on that day. So God, settle us today as only you can. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.